Some people call me Rabbi Sacks, but my friends call me Jeff.
Jonathan?
No. Because he spelled his name wrong. Uh-huh. Insure him, so. We are Masechet Kiddushin from Web Yeshiva, from Mishkan Tzipora. Go back a drop because we left off in the middle, and I know people don't always have time to review during the week. How much time were you planning? Seriously?
2 or 3 days.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can check with them. They have chavruses. Spend a lot of time preparing. Review, they prioritize preparing it. Okay. The Mishnah has this kind of crazy. Fellow sees. For the other four and accepts simultaneously his Makadesh, all five of them, with five Shavuot Prutim. I didn't do seven women. Now that's an interesting literary question. Why does the Mishnah choose an example of five women? Three would have sufficed. Seven would have want to go overboard. Right? Didn't want it to be too close.
Seven is perfect number.
So you'd have one for each day of the week. I do remember that movie.
A fifth man was voted down as being redundant.
So Maaseh Chamesh Nashim. So he simultaneously married to all of them, except in the case of Mishnah, where two of these five women happen to be sisters. And since a person cannot be married to a woman and her sister, he's married to neither of them because he tried to be Mekadesh them simultaneously. And therefore he's married to these two sisters are not part of the arrangement.
That's why they chose five.
No, but if they would have chosen three with two sisters, or four with three sisters, or seven with two sisters, the case would still be the same.
And there's no chance of the two being invalid, it kills the whole deal, since it all happens simultaneously.
But whom he can be married simultaneously, they are married to, and then until we were left. So Omar Rav, Shema Mina, Mimatnit in Arba, we can learn four halachos. Rav says we can learn four halachos from this. I mentioned this, usually we say Shema Mina Tlat, but here you can learn four things from it. Venokit Rav Biyadei Tlat. So he said you can learn four things, but only three of them were clear to him. Deshet. This was the case. It wasn't just the case of these five women. It wasn't just Shavuot Pruta. It was even more crazy than that. Here's the case of the Mishnah. Maaseh b'chamesh nashim u'hem shtei achayot. Five women, two of whom are sisters. The lakat, this fellow, the groom, lakat echad al kalash al te'inim. He gathers a basket full of figs. Right, the figs are all Shavuot Pruta. V'shelahen haita, but the figs belonged to the women. However, ma, v'shel shvi'it haita, but it was a Shemitah year. So the figs were hefker. So when he picks them, they are his. Harei kulchan mikadosh chutz b'kalkalu v'kabla achat mihem al yadan kulan v'amru chachamim ein ha'chayot.
What? What is the shvi'i?
Oh, well, the Gemara is about to... he's a guy he reviews from last week. So he doesn't know that we're going to discuss that question tonight. Right? Why does that have to be Shvi'it? Well, because we're going to learn from this. Number one, you can learn that you can be Mekadesh with Peir Shvi'it. So, David, last week this was your question. Wasn't it? What about the Isser Sora? Didn't you ask that question last week?
It was the other David.
I knew it was a David. I knew it was on the court. There's an Isser Sora. You're not allowed to do business or trade with Perut Shvi'it. Okay, the Gemara is going to come to that. This whole idea of the Perut Shvi'it. So Rashi here gives two explanations for Rav's statement about the Shvi'it. So the first explanation is that Rav is saying that even though the fruit have Kedushat Shvi'it, that they're Shemitah fruits, nevertheless, Shemitah fruit that you buy, the bottle of wine that you have in your house right now that very well might be Kedushat Shvi'it, you know about Shemitah? Because you knew, you just came.
I would say, that's right.
Okay. So, you've heard of such a thing. So it could be you have, while you go into the store now, because there's no fresh produce left at this point that has Kedusha Shvius. And even most canned goods and preserved food, Kedusha Shvius, even that much Heter Mechira. But wine is wine. There's wine and there's grape juice. A lot of juice. Except for the Kedem, which is imported. All the grape juice. There wasn't a lot on the shelf.
It's all imported. And Ross says that you will pull.
Maybe. It's not all imported.
It's not
Carmel is not all imported. It could be that the stuff you were looking at was Yivohul, but Carmel certainly has.
You buy Rabbi Levi, the Israeli stuff, or
you have to check. In other words, if you are makbid, if you do not rely on the Heter Mechira, during this season, you should be careful to check the label. And by the way, because my wife does a lot of the shopping online, and they deliver it, and she said two bottles of grape juice, took it for granted, and it showed up. It was Heter Mechira, or you also have wine now, which is Kedushat Shvi'it, which is, of course, perfectly permitted. And on the contrary, Ramban says that's a mitzvah to drink it. This is just a rishus. But the Ramban says there's a mitzvah to eat and drink food that has Kedushat Shvi'it. But you have to know that it's Kedushat Shvi'it because you have to treat it properly. You can't spill it down the drain. You can't spill out the drops at Havdalah, etc.
This Shemitah season, there was far less Kedushat Shvi'it wine and grape juice. I remember previous.
I don't know.
By us on the farm, our yivun for grapes that we make wine with was far less.
Mm. Maybe it was just that season. I don't know. I really don't know. But anyway, my point is that if you go into your wine cellar right now at home and see that you have wine that's Kedusha Shvius, is it yours? It's your property.
But if you didn't do Biur?
No, assuming you did Biur. Of course it's yours. Is it Shavapruta? Shavapruta. Right? So it's your property. If I come and I steal it from your house, I'm stealing. Right? Because even though out in the field, the Perot Shvi'it are Hefker, a person can come along and acquire. There's a limit on how much you should acquire or how much you can acquire without violating the Isser of storehousing Kedusha Shvi'it, but it's yours. So Rashi says that's the point of Rav, that for Dinei Mamonos it's private property. And therefore, since it's private property, you can be Mekadesh a woman with it. And then Rashi says, that Rav is teaching you, hold on a second, what do you mean by this Isser Schora? We have this idea that Perot Shvi'it can only be used for consumption, right? But Rashi says that Rav is teaching us that you shouldn't define it so narrowly. the prohibition of misusing food that has the Kedushat Shvit is using it in a way that's not the normal way to use it. So there's all types of normal uses of food that aren't technically eating. And using food as a barter, here in the case to be Mekadesh a woman, Rav says that's normal. So that's the point of the halacha here, that there's no what you said, that there's no iser schora of using these figs or the bottle of wine or whatever it is in order to affect kiddushin. So according to the first opinion in Rashi, that when you acquire food that's kedusha shvius, that it's your property, and therefore, since it's your property, you can be mekadesh with it. So what's the havamina? Why is it different than being mekadesh? Why is it different? Nobody says, like, how can you be mekadesh with a ring? Or how can you be mekadesh with a 20 shekel bill, which is certainly shavei pruta, right? So what's the havamina? You can't be mekadesh with this basket of figs or a basket of figs, by the way, can be more expensive than a bottle of wine. Figs are quite pricey. So the Pnei Yeshua says that you might have thought that Shvius is so kadosh that it's like Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni is, you know what Maser Sheni is? Yeah? Do we need a quick review? What? When you take in non-Shemitah years, you take Truma, you take Maser, the Truma goes to the Kohen, the Maser goes to the Levi, and then in year 1, 2, 4, and 6, I'm sorry, 1, 2, 4, and 5, you take Maser Sheni, which another 10% off of what remains after you've already given Truma and Maser, and Trumat Maser, and that food is yours. But it's Kadosh, and it can only be used in Yerushalayim and eaten when you are Tahor, presumably when you're going up for the Shalosh Regalim. You know, like these figs that I just took Maaser Sheni from right now. So I'm not going to Yerushalayim until Pesach. Pesach, then it's an Ibur Shana, and Pesach's all the time away. These figs are not going to make it. And I can't dry them right now because it's raining, so they're going to go to waste. So what do? You're Podeh. You redeem their value on money, and you add the chomesh, you add 20%, and then that money, the kedusha, is transferred to the money, and the money is used when you go to Yerushalayim for Aliyah Leregel. Mm-hmm. But the food itself is kadosh, or the money that you transfer the kedusha to becomes kadosh.
It's the person who took that food from you and gave you the money. Does he have to treat that food differently, or now that it's been sold?
No, so now that's pidyon. The kedusha is transferred. No, you don't. You're not selling. That's you. It's your food. I have the food, but I know that I'm not going to be able to enjoy the food in Yerushalayim because it's going to rot before I get there. So I keep the food, but I transfer the kedusha to the value of the money plus a bit, right? And now the food is chulin, and I can eat it, right? But kol od that it's kadosh, you can't sell it.
No, after you pote it, you can sell it.
No, after you pote it, it's chulin like anything else. It's like regular, fruit. But as kol od that the food is kadosh, I can't do anything with it. I can't sell it. I can't be mekadesh a woman with it. Right? So the havamina was that
because
of the kedusha.
Because it's not yours?
No, it is yours. But because of the kedusha, it's like hektish.
Is it really yours? Or is it something that's not you don't fully own it yet because it really doesn't belong to you?
Well, no, it does, but and it's not something you don't offer it as a korban, you don't give it to the kohen. It's your food. You eat it when you get to Yerushalayim, right? But it has restrictions on its use. So the havamina was that kedusha shvius is like the kedusha of maaser sheni, kol mashmalon. That's not the case. So look back in the Gemara.
Use that food in Yerushalayim, and you're the feast, and you eat yourself.
That's correct, but it has kedusha. It has to be eaten within Yerushalayim, and it has to be eaten when you are tahor. Right? It's almost like a kind of. What does it sound like?
Korban.
It sounds like a kind of korban. It's not exactly a korban. It's not brought to the Mizbeach. It's not even necessarily brought into the Mikdash, right? But doesn't it sound a lot like a korban, right? So it has Kedusha, right? Shma Mina, here's another thing you can learn from the Mishnah. Kidsha begezel eina mikudeshet. If you steal something, you go into the jewelry, you knock over the jewelry store, you steal the ring, then you try to marry the woman with it, it doesn't work. Why? Because it's not yours. So what? How do you learn that from our Mishnah? Because he's in a normal year, if he trespasses and goes into their pardes and picks their fruit, what do we call that? That's gezel. So why isn't it gezel now? Because during Shemitah it's hefker. During Shemitah it's hefker, and anybody who wants can come and take a reasonable amount. Is 5 figs a reasonable amount? Yeah, I guess so. But except for that case, it would have been stealing, and they wouldn't be mikudeshet. Okay.
However, this is certainly a very faulty logic.
Why?
It really tells you nothing about gezel.
No, but by inference,
that this happens not to be gezel, but if it had been, then what?
So Rav is saying, by inference, the fact that it's teaching you, in other words, the Mishnah wouldn't have thrown in. Without having the Mishnah wouldn't have thrown into this chillant of crazy situation, wouldn't have thrown in the fact. And it was Shemitah, right? In order to get you out of the case, said it would have been Gezel, right? It's there in order to teach you something.
Yeah, also the language of the Mishnah. Because it first says Vishadhanaka. It's like the dramatic thing.
Right.
Oh, you think you can do it? But Shemitah. That you could just say Shemitah, and then it would
Just
absolutely.
There's a difference between gezel and ganav.
Ah, so the Gemara. Good, you weren't here last week. Right. You were here, so you didn't know you were supposed to prepare ahead.
No, I prepared.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the page.
So you learned the whole mesechta.
No, I do remember from somewhere that if you steal it, it actually belongs to you.
Under certain circumstances, were you with us when we learned sukkah a couple years back?
For 5 years? From the time I started working. So.
Oh, my. But anyway, we're going to go. So, Kidsha, Vishmamina Kidsha Begezel Ena Mikudeshet Afilu Begezel Dida. That's if I go into the jewelry store, knock over the jewelry store, steal a ring, and then try to be Mekadesh Uum with it, not Mikudeshet. But what if I break into the girl's house and go into her jewelry box and steal one of her own rings and then try to be Makadesh her with her own ring?
It's still not yours.
It's still not yours, and you can't be. So what's the Havamina? Begezel Dida, in something stolen from the bride? So maybe she's happy to get it back. And she's Mivater on the fact that he's being Makadesh with Gezel.
Well, or you could just flip it. Maybe, I mean, not even talking about her emotional state, but like you can flip it and say, normally, what if she was happy to get the stolen ring? And the real stolen ring.
No, so, yeah.
And then you'd say, oh, well, she might
be here. No, but if she's here. Even if she's happy to get the stolen ring, her happiness does nothing to transfer ownership to him because it's not hers to transfer. But if it's her ring, you might say she's thinking what? Oh boy, look at those.
I'm talking about the possession of the ring itself. Once she receives the ring, if she receives a stolen ring, it's still a stolen ring. If she receives her own ring, it kind of loses its status in a stolen ring.
Okay, so anyway, the Gemara is going to come back to this.
It was never his.
It was never his, but what's the Havamina? And that's an objective idea.
No, but at the point of inclusion, her property becomes his.
No, but in other words, but whatever
his property.
No. But in other words, in order to create the Kedushin a moment before, whatever he's giving her has to be his already. The fact that once they become married, technically the women's property, we have a merger of bank accounts, right, is not enough to have said that lechatchila beforehand the ring belonged to him. It's her. And his property is his property. Okay, so that's all right. You know the halacha is about the gezel b'shevach kli and etc. There are ways that a person can steal something and then acquire it, as we in Masechet Sukkah. But that's not our Gemara here. Is not dealing with that case. Our Gemara is not a mention. I can't hear.
Authority over
the slave's
wedding ring. You can go and sell it if you want.
I don't know. But right. So afilu begezel dida mimai midiketani shelita. Right. The emphasis that these were the women's figs. She haita tama de shvit the hefkerhu. Right, the rationale behind mentioning that shvius is to tell you that they were hefker, so that when he takes it, it was his. Ha d'shar shanei shavua, the other six of the 7 years, lo, it wouldn't have been his, and then he would have stolen it, and then he wouldn't have been able to effect collusion with it.
Is there a thing when I remember when I was? I mean, I think when I got married, there was some kind of like that it had to be my money. To buy the ring?
Say again?
Something, I think when I got married, someone was saying, I had to be sure it was I use my money to buy the ring. I shouldn't use my parents' money or something to buy the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I got the ring somehow anyway, does it matter where you get the ring? Could you get the ring from Hefker? Could you get any money or the ring or whatever from Hefker? That would be a...
Sure.
So but that's, why, I mean... Why is it an issue of making, why does it matter where I get the money from?
In other words, because if your parents paid for it, it's not yours.
No, they paid for it, they just gave me the money. It didn't make a difference.
If your parents gifted you the money,
right, okay.
And then you use that money to pay at the jeweler, right. So then it's yours. Yeah. But if you go to the jeweler to pick up the ring and you have daddy's credit card, right, and it's coming out of daddy's account, so it's a shayla. Right now, presumably the Masada Kedushin would check that daddy had gifted you the ring, right? That we have ways to work it out. But in potential, it's a problem. I had this problem myself. My wife. I don't remember how it happened. She had a very specific idea about which wedding she wanted. There was a jewel in Yerushalayim that made it kind of custom for her. And long story short, she went, and she wasn't my wife yet. She went and picked up the ring. And for whatever reason, like, I had given her like cash money to pay for it, and she like left it. I don't remember what the story was. She ended up paying for it with her father's credit card, right? So I mean, we took care of it. We're legally wed, but it set off every halachic alarm bell in my head, you know, when this happened. And number three, yeah.
In this case, where we have the two sisters,
hey. Yeah.
They would probably be able to keep those figs.
They'd be able to keep the figs.
Why? It was his one to give them to her.
Yeah.
Everybody more.
If he
gave them presents, I mean, with the presents, he wanted to do
it. There was a deny.
No, I don't know. If a man says Harayat mekudeshet li betabat zu, kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, and it turns out that it was Apostle Masek Kedushin. She was a woman that he quit. She was already an Eish Sish, right? Like? Isn't there? It's a different case on that Gilligan's Island. In other words, it turns out they weren't really. She thought she got a get, right? She didn't get a get. She was still an Eish Sish. She goes and she gets as a chuppah with somebody else. She says, Hariat Mekudesh Libit Batzu. How can that Kedushin be affected? No, she's married to somebody else. So then, obviously, the ring is not hers. She never really came into legal possession of the ring, just like he never became into legal possession of her. I don't know. It doesn't pay to add questions onto this crazy story. We have enough questions to wrestle with on our own. Bishma mina, the third case. Isha, the third thing you can learn from the story. Isha naset shaliach lechaverte, afilu bimkom shenaset latzara. A woman can serve as a shlicha. It's interesting It says shaliach instead of shlicha. What does Balashon say about that? A woman can be a shaliach to accept kiddushin for another woman, even in the case when not only is she serving as a shaliach to accept the kiddushin, but she herself is simultaneously becoming a co-wife, what the halacha calls a tsara. The folk etymology of tsara is a kind of rival wife. They cause tsaras for each other, these rival wives.
I think the real thing is just bound together, like before.
But Balashon tells us that it's not from Lashon tsar, anguish, right? But from Lashon tsror.
I think I might have actually learned this from your work. Talk about, like, is there, like, in these upcoming parshiyot, we're talking about, like, you talk about the components of the Mishkan are like probably
they're bound together. Wow, I love. See, I've outsourced part of my memory to him. Right, he's telling me something that I taught him that I forgot.
No, your wife.
Oh, my wife. Yeah. So that's like me. Yishtoka gufa. Wait. Paul.
Pinchas. Is it possible to be a shaliach if you haven't been appointed a shaliach?
No.
So how did she?
No. So in other words, it's implicit in the Mishnah that this is what's happening. Yeah.
I was making another comment that it's a shlicha with one of the sisters and nobody's married.
No. In a normal case of shlichut, where you're not marrying the shaliach, you're marrying her agent.
Let's see. It would be a shaliach. Was that something that you can yourself do?
No, absolutely not. Not in this case. Can a woman appoint a man to be a shaliach, to be mekabel kiddushin for her? When the man gives, it's very romantic. The man, the husband, and the man representing the woman, call the photographers, right? Right? Who says Judaism doesn't believe in this kind of marriage? Right, one man gives a ring to another man and says, "Hare, he mikudeshet li b'debatzu that I'm giving to you, sir, on her behalf." Right now, whether they kiss under the chuppah or not, I don't know.
Why is this a thing?
No, because he says you can't be a shaliach unless you yourself can do it.
What's the thing here?
You might have thought that you can't be a shaliach. If you're simultaneously you're creating this co-wife situation.
It talks about a kohen.
What's the Daf Yomi up to?
The kohen can give his right to his brother to another kohen.
Well,
they talk about a kohen and not able to bring the kohen himself, the carbon himself, because he's a man, he's a balmum or whatever. It has ramifications because he can't bring himself. Then he can't.
So look at Rashi here. You see, it's like Rashi's up at third to the line in the Gemara. Va'afilu bimkom shenaseit latzarach. Va'afalpi shebechol edut she'ishak sheirala. Ein hatzara ne'emenet, right? Co-wives, rival wives,
cannot give
edut one on the other in the cases where women's edut is accepted. It's a kind of nogeya b'davar. Either that or just like relatives. If I marry a woman. Right, we're now krovim, and we know that krovim cannot testify one against the other, or one on behalf of the other. Right, my brother can't be an aid in my trial. My brother can't be an aid on my ketubah or on my get. Right, women who admittedly are limited in the areas in which they're able to give testimony. What's a case where a woman can give a witness in a testimony?
Someone's disappeared.
Eid echad ne'eman b'isurin. Whenever we say that cases where one witness is accepted, women can testify. including cases of aguna, right? Or other such things, right? So what's the relationship between co-wives? Is that a level of kirva of relationship which makes you puzzle leidut or not? So from feidut, they're considered related, right? Even though they're not related, certainly not biologically related, right? But they're related through this shared husband for the purposes of eidut. So I might have thought because they can't testify one on behalf or one against each other. So maybe shlichut is a kind of eidut. Sheishak sheira la einat zera ne'emenet b'shlichuta. Miha kevan de'avda de'ha ocha b'kiddushin. B'kiddushin halalu. Hey nasot sarot al yedei zu she kibla v'ketanei nochriot mikudashin. Right? They're allowed to be. It's allowed to work, and I think that even in your question, Shalom, if one of the two sisters was the one that was the shlicha on behalf of the other ones, so she's not mikudeshet, but that doesn't. On the contrary, it makes it easier because you don't even have the havamina that they can't do it, right? Because then she's stam shlicha, not one of the shlichot that are also becoming a rival wife. V'idach mai. So now to go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, okay, we learned three halachot from this Mishnah. But what's the fourth? Remember, Rav said there could be a fourth halacha that we learned from this. So what's that fourth one? V'idach mai. So maybe it's Kedushin She'ein Misurin Labia. V'nach Sheve. So maybe the halacha is this halacha we've been debating, whether or not kiddushin, which cannot be consummated, because you cannot have marital relations with your wife's sister. So manav shaktis, a man simultaneously is makadesh two women, right? Two women. Let's try to make the case as simple as possible. It'll still be a complicated case. Two women, let's call them Rachel and Leah for the cases of convenience. Two women appoint one shaliach, let's call him Pinchas. And say, you go to Reuven and be Mekabel Kedushin for us. So Reuven gives the ring or the figs or the bottle of wine to Pinchas and says, Hare Shnehen Mekudashot Li B'Shavet Pruta, B'Shnei Shavet Pruta. Elama. So if they weren't related to each other, Rachel and Leah, what happens? The moment that you accept the object, the two of them simultaneously become his wives. But if they're sisters, neither of them can become married to him. So therefore, nothing has happened. Right? Since they can't both be. So in that case, that's the case of Bia, a kiddushin she'en la mesurin lebia, since it would be forbidden for him to have relations with either. Each of them would be his. What's that old song? I am my own grandfather. Right,
but I understand this. Why would you learn it all from the ratio of the Mishnah? That's a simple one. Like, why do we don't need the second case to learn that? We already have the ratio. It's very clear in the ratio.
Okay.
I mean, even the whole
stuff. We're trying to figure out what's the fourth halacha. So this is one suggestion.
No, but I'm saying we wouldn't need to learn it from the complicated thing. It's the ferush in the ratio of the same issue.
So the Gemara says mishum de misapka. So why doesn't he say that's the halacha you can learn? That's the halacha you can learn from this mishnah. Mishum de misapka le ika abaye v'ika rava. He wasn't sure who the halacha was like. Remember, it's this whole thing is a machlokas between Abaye and Rava.
Regarding the ratio of the Mishnah?
Regarding whether or not Kiddushin, She'enan, Misurin, Lebia are Kiddushin or not Kiddushin.
But the ratio of the Mishnah says explicitly that the Nama Kiddushot, the Isha and Achuta. So what's left of the
Because show? The ratio of the Mishnah is according to the opinion that.
Yeah, they're not Misurin, Lebia.
So, So he says, this is the machlok. He wasn't sure if the halacha is like, now we said already the halacha is like who?
I don't remember which one, but the one that says that it's
Yal Kagam.
Yeah.
Right? Yal Kagam, we say the halacha is like a baye. But Rav was unsure of how the halacha was going to be. So he says, I don't want to say for sure that this is a halacha that can be determined from this. So Kisalik Rabbi Zera, when Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, Amra la Hashmata Kameder of Yochanan. He said this halacha in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Le, Mi Amar. Who said this halacha? Mi Amar Rav Hachi. Did Rav really say this? Well, who? Wait a second.
What was it, Rav earlier than the Bayan Rav?
Yeah, but he didn't, meaning he didn't, when we say the halacha, it's a machlok bein Abaye and Rava, we don't mean that they originated the positions. It means he wasn't sure was the halacha this way, was the halacha that way, the halacha that come to represent the positions of Abaye and Rava. Wait, I want to go back a second on something. So Rav had said, based on our Mishnah, that a man can be Mekadesh, like we said, a man can be Mekadesh a woman with Perot Shvi'is, right? So Rashi, that we quoted, says that there's no problem, he had a Havamina, that there was a problem of Schora, of doing business, with Perot Shvi'it, that doesn't apply in this case. This is not considered schora for the purposes of that prohibition. So the Tosfot here, Tosfot, you see Hamakadesh, disagrees and says that the Isser of schora would potentially apply in this case. But even if you were over on the issur of schora, of doing trade or doing business with Perot Kedushat Shvi'it, that issur is only lechatchila. If I go into the store, if I go into the store with Perot Kedushat Shvi'it, in the days when you could barter things, and I do schora and I give you, you know, a barrel of Kedushat Shvi'it wine, and you give me the equivalent amount of meat, did I violate the issue of schora? Yeah. Is the meat mine? Yeah. Yeah. So even if there's an issue of schora, the exchange is valid. The transaction counts. And if it counts for a pound of meat, it counts for the kedushin. So that's a separate halacha that the kedusha keeps transferring, and even in potential money itself, if I do schora with Perot Kedusha Shvi'it, right, the money that's exchanged takes on kedusha, and since Chazal's idea of money was a little different than our idea of money. Our money after the, what is it, the Bretton Woods Agreement? They always rely on you to be. In other words, our money is just paper, it's just symbolic, right? A dime is not actually worth more, the physical object is not actually worth twice two nickels, right? Right. In other words, once we went off the gold standard and then the silver standard, it's all just a myth. And since we all keep believing in it, it works very well.
That was the Wizard of Oz.
It's one explanation of the allegory of the Wizard of Oz. Oz, O-Z, the ounce of gold.
Probably on the
road. Yeah, bro. There's a thousand different allegories for the Wizard of Oz, but that is certainly one of them. But Chazal's sense of how this was an agreement that was made after World War II called the Bretton Woods Agreement that took money off, took the currency off of the gold standard. It used to be a dollar meant a dollar was just a symbol. A dollar was just a promissory note that there was a dollar's worth of gold in Fort Knox.
Silver,
right? Yeah, silver or gold, right?
Yeah,
right? But since it was inconvenient to carry a bar of gold around, so this paper said, like, I'm transferring you the value of this gold. So
I think a lot of people don't even realize that when they talk about, like, a parsha shkalim, that it's not, this is just a weight. It was not a coin.
Yeah.
No coins until the Greek times.
Yes.
You know, it's a...
So, but Chazal still understood that money was a measure of precious metal, right? That's why a shekel is a shekel. It's a mishkal. It's a weight of a certain amount of silver. So when you do schora b'peirot shvit, the money itself in exchange, which is a problem because then it starts to pollute the monetary system, because that coin, like that bunch of grapes or that bottle of wine, that coin now has kedushat shviit. So we try not to think about this too much, because the truth is the halacha still applies, and the truth is that there are still ways to do. I mean, for this purpose, everybody relies on the heter mechira, and even people that don't eat from the heter mechira rely on the heter mechira.
It only applies when the coin itself had an intrinsic value.
So that's a machlokas aposkim about.
Does your phone become sweet if you pay with your app?
In theory, it can in a doomsday scenario, the money which retains its kedusha for all times, that coin until it's taken out of circulation. Yes, can keep polluting, but transferring kedusha all over the place, so that all types of objects can have.
No, I mean by paying with it. You know, we don't have.
Yes. Oh, paying with your phone. Oh, that I don't know, but
the electrons.
No, but if I take money as kedusha shvit and I purchase an object, a phone or whatever.
Are there like extreme groups who won't use Israeli money because of this concern?
I don't know.
The way they don't use the generator, like the only
generator. I don't know. It'd be very hard to manage nowadays, but let's assume that there's Satmar Hasidim that would be happy to be done with using Israeli money for a variety of reasons, not the least of which they have Noshim on the pictures. But anyway, so the Tosfos says that the Isser Schora does apply in this case, but that's only lechatchila, right? It's usher to use the peirot kedushat shvit, the figs, to affect this kedushin. But if you do it, so that's in a normal case. Except what's crazy about this kedushin? He's not being mekadesh a woman. He's not even being mekadesh five different women. He's being mekadesh women through the emtsa'i of a shaliach. Is it usur to affect kedushin in this manner? Yes, because of the isur schora. The isur schora of the kedusha shvius. Does the kedushin nevertheless b'dieved take effect? Yes. That would be true if Reuven was marrying Rachel, but with a shaliach, we have a different principle. Who cannot become a shaliach? Ein shaliach ledvar avera. There is it, because when one woman is mekabelet the kiddushin for all five, by definition, she's their shlicha. If they hadn't been appointed, So maybe in that case, she's not the shlicha for herself. She's the representative of herself and simultaneously for the other four. But when the other four appoint her to be the shlicha, to accept the kedushin on their behalf, then the shlichut should what? It should be invalid, because it's a shlichut l'dvar avera.
Because of the use of.
Because the shlichut, because the kedushin is being affected through.
Now, none of the women are not just the two that were sisters.
Now the two or sisters are not married. The other two women aren't sisters either. But the one woman herself, what do we say about her?
She's not a shalicha.
For herself, she's herself. So at most, the kedushin would apply to her. If she's one of the sisters, there's no problem, because her other sister knocks out because of shliach ledvar avera. So how does the whole Gemara take this whole thing seriously? Torah with kedusha shviyas.
Why should it be effective for her?
Because she's not a shliach.
What disqualifies is the shlichut?
It disqualifies the shlichut.
She's a shliach on her own behalf. She's
wait, so one on one.
For herself, fine.
Yeah, so they're married, even though in Isser, according to Tosfot, not according to Rashi, according to Tosfot, it's an Isser shlich, it's an Isser schora on the shlichut. According to Rashi, there's no problem. According to Tosfot, there's an Isser schora on the maaseh kedushin of using perot shvit to affect kedushin. But nevertheless, b'dieved the kedushin are valid. So that's in a normal case, one on one. But when someone else makes a woman to be a shaliach to accept kedushin, she is appointing her to be or him to be a shaliach lidvara vera. You understand what this principle means? It means you can't appoint a shaliach. This came up a couple weeks ago. If I appoint you to put a mezuzah on my door, I have an obligation. I have to put a mezuzah on my door. But I'm not so handy with the hammer and nails and the drill. So I ask you to do it. I make you my shaliach to put a mezuzah on my door. You're not obligated to put a mezuzah on my door, but you can be my shaliach to do the mitzvah. Any of you make a bris milah for your son? Yeah?
Never cut.
Right? Most normal people appoint a shaliach. Some mishugoyim want to do it themselves. Right? But you have a son? He had a bris milah? You did it with shlichus. Right? And well you did. Well you did. Right? So in Beis HaMikdash, Shibone. And people have to bring karbanos. You know, a lot of the parts of the karbanos, the bala korban is allowed to do. Who has to shech the korban?
Anybody.
Well, the Bala Korban really should do it. It's his mitzvah bo yoter mibishlucho. All things being equal, it's better to do it yourself. Elama, most people aren't so good with the knife. So there were kohanim that were there, happy to help out. Yeah, it could be, but I think lama'aseh was kohanim on the job. Right? Because, you know, there's certain things that you just can't do yourself. I suppose I could change the oil on my car. But why would I want to do that? I have a shaliach right here in the garage. He's not a shaliach exactly. I pay him, but the point is that we rely on expertise for all types of things, even for me. So if I say to you, listen, I can't hang this mezuzah myself. I'm gonna mess it up. I need you to do it for me. Did I do the mitzvah? Sure, betach.
Well, also, that's a government thing in the sense of like...
Yeah, but the mitzvah has been performed, right? It's my obligation, but the mitzvah has been performed. But if I say to you, listen, I don't like that guy so much. I'd like to bump him off. Right? And I say to you, look, do me a favor. Take care of it. Make an accident happen. Make an accident. Will no one rid me of this troubled meddlesome priest? Right? So if I make you the shaliach to do that, and you're my good friend, and you want to help me out,
of course.
Right? So, what's the halacha? Ein shlichus ledvar avera. I can't appoint you a shlich.
Yeah, avera is mine.
So when you do it, when you pull the trigger, it's on you, right? Even though I can court, like I'm also going to be in trouble. But in Shamayim, you what do you do? What are you stupid?
But in America,
you know. Yeah, I mean, in civil court, you can be in civil court. That, yeah, technically, it might be off the hook. Certainly, I couldn't be put to death for it, right? But you could, right? And your claim, it wasn't me. Shluch Hashem Adam Kamoso doesn't apply. Why? Because there's no shlichut. You can't say shlucho shel adam kemoto because there's no shlichut.
So if a kohen sends a shlich to marry a grusha, that wouldn't be a question. That wouldn't be machlokah within Rashi and Tosfos here. That's not the core of the
no, machlokah. Because it's a different history altogether. That's a kiddushin which can't be affected.
Right, but I'm saying they're not. Their machlokah within Rashi and Tosfos is not about the essence
no,
of
the shlich. Here the machlokah is about this is a machlokah is not in kiddushin, but in schorah kiddushat shvi'it. Right? So.
The Kedushin does take
effect.
With the coin.
Oh, with the coin, it does take effect.
Well, you're saying
so the Shlichut shouldn't work.
Even according to Rashi.
We'd have to look up that Sugya, but Mistama, yeah. So, anyway, so what are the answers? So there are a few answers. What's the case in our Mishnah? When we say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, that means that whatever act the Shliach is being contracted for is itself forbidden. Bumping out the guy is itself forbidden. Whether I'm pulling the trigger or you're pulling the trigger. Is it a Dvar Avera for the woman to accept the Kiddushin? Whose Avera is it for the Isser of Schora? Right? Does the woman even know that these figs are Kedusha Shvius? Well, in our case, perhaps because they came from her pardes.
She may not recognize them.
Right? What?
She may not recognize them.
But she may not recognize them, and maybe he was using Isser Schora from, not in our case, in our Mishnah, but what if he was using if he was doing Isser Schora from food that he acquired elsewhere? Right?
Does she know their sisters?
No, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about...
It's an Avera.
What? No, but that's not... There's no Avera there because that's a different aspect of the case. There's no Avera because they're never actually married. Even B'dievet. Because he shouldn't try to marry two sisters at the same time. And if he does try to marry two sisters, it doesn't count. Right? It doesn't exist. But here, he shouldn't do Kiddushin with Kedushat Shvi'it, but if he does, in heaven he gets a mark on the wrong side of the book, but the Kedushin worked, and the woman or her Shaliach had not performed an Avera by accepting this. He performed an Avera by trying to, he's the one doing Schora, not her. So the Avera is not built into the Shlichus. She says, "Go and accept kiddushin from this man on my behalf." She didn't say, "Go and accept kiddushin with holy figs." She doesn't say, "Go and accept." Right? If he gives her the ring, if he gives her a bar of gold, if he gives her a basket of figs, he accepts it. So the woman, you can't say that the shlichut itself constitutes a maaseh avera in order to apply. The No Dabi Yehuda says something else. He says that when the man gives the perot shvit to the woman for the kiddushin, well, this is similar. He says it's the man, not the woman, who is over on the isser. The first opinion. This is the Sefer HaMikne. Sefer HaMikne says that it's not shlichut ledvar avera, even though there's an avera going on adjacent to the shlichut, right? But the avera that's going on adjacent to the shlichut is not the shlichut itself. What is the shlichut? The shlichut is stick out your hand and take the ring, or the basket of figs, or the bar of gold, and with that, I am wed. The Noda Behuda says that if there is an isser here, it's the man's isser, not the it's the giver, not the receiver. And therefore, the woman isn't in bechlal involved in the iser, and therefore appointing the shliach is not a dvar aveira. Okay, we'll continue here. Oh, next week is election day. Who's planning on being here despite election day? You, I know you have to go and can't be out on the stuffing ballot boxes.
You said about the date.
I can't. I will not be here.
You will.
I'll be back.
Well, I'm going to send out on the WhatsApp, and people will vote whether or not we're having a shir.
Have a vote or twice.
Vote early and often. Tup takim. In other words, if you're the, if somebody's hanging up the mezuzah for you, right? So you can say the bracha if you're standing there. But if not, if like you send somebody ahead, somebody's like setting up your house for you, so he says the bracha when he puts it on.
Is garbage? You know who your Cheskel Kutcher is? I'm getting the name of the family. He was a linguist.